Hear the word of God, as it's written in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 17, reading verses 9 to 14, which can be found on page 13 of the Pew Bibles. God tells Abraham that every newborn male child must bear a mark to show that he belongs to the everlasting covenant between God and Israel. Genesis 17, reading from verse 9. Hear the word of God. Then God said to Abraham, "Your responsibility is to obey the terms of the covenant. You and all your descendants have this continual responsibility. This is the covenant that you and your descendants must keep. Each male among you must be circumcised. You must cut off the flesh of your foreskin as a sign of the covenant between me and you. From generation to generation, every male child must be circumcised on the eighth day after his birth. This applies not only to members of your family, but also to the servants born in your household and the foreign-born servants whom you have purchased. All must be circumcised. Your bodies will bear the mark of my everlasting covenant. Any male who fails to be circumcised will be cut off from the covenant family for breaking the covenant." Here ends the first reading. We turn to the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2, reading verses 21 to 35, which can be found in page 781 of the Pew Bibles. Luke records the meeting between 8-day-old baby Jesus and Simeon, and the scripture that Simeon quotes from Genesis. Luke chapter 2, reading from verse 21. "8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, 'If a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord.' So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. At that time there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel.' Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, 'This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul.' To God be the glory and the praise in the reading of his word. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. Amen. In November 2006, the boy band Take That released their comeback single called Patience. How fitting was the title of that song, not just for the members of the group,
but for their fans as well. For 10 long years, the band were out of the charts. For 10 long years, their fans had to wait. Is that right, Alison? How fitting the words of the song, "Have a little patience." Nowadays, the common meaning of the expression "have a little patience" is a far-flung thing from its biblical meaning when the psalmist wrote, "Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act." Or when James, the brother of Jesus and leader of the church in Jerusalem, said, "Dear brothers and sisters, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return." Or when Peter, the leader of the disciples, also said, "Remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved." We live in a microwave society. Ping. We get things now faster than ever before, and yet it's seldom fast enough. Nuked popcorn still takes too long to pop. Our fast food order at McDonald's or KFC seems to take forever to be handed to us at the drive-through window, when in reality we've only waited for a minute or two. Young couples get married today and expect to have the same things their parents have after 25 years of marriage. A new car, a nice house, and extra spending money. These things all take time to acquire. Yet hurried, frantic minds struggle with the concept of waiting patiently. Forget patience. We want things now. Ping. Patience is one of the great concepts from a former age that has been trivialized until it's hardly recognizable. What do we mean today when we say to a restless child fidgeting in a checkout aisle who is getting closer and closer to a tantrum? We say the magical words, "Be patient." What does that mean? In biblical language, that would have meant never give up on what you're hoping for. Never quit wanting what it is that you truly desire. That's almost the reverse of what it means today. For most people today, to be patient means to wait quietly, not to make a fuss. Stop the passion, cool it, turn away from what you really want and care about. Patience is what we expect the driver behind us to have, but seldom give to the one in front. Biblical patience is quite different. In our Bible reading, Jesus meets someone who illustrates the kind of patience I'm talking about. He's someone who has only a fleeting part in the story of Jesus, but we can learn so much about Simeon that we do him and ourselves an injustice if we don't take the time to explore this wonderful encounter. The Bible gives us very little background about Simeon, except to say that he was a man living in Jerusalem who was righteous and devout while eagerly awaiting the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. Perhaps to better understand what happens, we could imagine the story through Simeon's eyes. Let me introduce myself. My name is Simeon. I spend a lot of time in the temple. No, I'm not a priest or even a prophet. I'm just a normal man who's very devoted to his God. I have remained devoted to God no matter what the people around me have done. So many times our people, the Jews, fell away from God. A lot of times we were outright disobedient. Yet I have still done my best to live my life according to God's Spirit within me. God has had an open line of communication with me through his Holy Spirit. In fact, it was a while back. My memory fails me in my old age as to actually when it was. But when God's Spirit spoke to me and told me something incredible. The Spirit of God made a promise to me, and that promise was that I would not see death until I had seen the Lord's Messiah. That promise was amazing to me. And that promise was that I would not see death until I had seen the Lord. I have wanted nothing more than to see the God's anointed one come to earth. I don't think I'm any more holy than anyone else. I don't even think that I'm more righteous than any other Jewish person. But for some reason, God chose to speak to me through his Spirit and promised me that I would see the Messiah. Me. Years have passed since that promise. I'm getting old now. My knees aren't what they used to be. I'm starting to get a little arthritis in my hands, my hair as well. Let's call it the colour of wisdom. Okay, I'm getting a wee bit grey. Still, getting older isn't all that bad. It just makes my walk to the temple a little more difficult. I remember the days when I could just run through the streets without thinking about it. I would run past the markets and every once in a while accidentally knock over a cart of food. I could get around pretty well in my youth, but these days I saunter slowly to where I need to be. I love to go to the temple. In fact, I go there every week to worship God. But getting there is not much fun these days. But the other day, as I walked to the temple, it was different. I was excited. In fact, I felt like a kid again. I couldn't run or jump to the temple, but I walked more quickly towards it than I had in a long time. What was it that made that day so different for me? The difference was that the Spirit of God urged me on. Deep from inside my soul, the Spirit told me to make my way to the temple. I didn't know for sure why God wanted me there on that day. I had my hopes and suspicions, but I had already been there that week to worship. Yet for some reason, God wanted me at the temple that day. So I walked as briskly as I could to get there. I made my way through the crowded streets of Jerusalem until I rounded the corner, and there it was in all its glory, the temple of the Lord. My pace quickened as I made my way through the golden gate, then walked through the beautiful gate and into the court of women, not knowing what or who I was looking for. I probably looked as if I was struck by the temple's beauty the way I was looking around the place. People bumped into me as they passed by, and I still didn't know why I was there. Then I noticed a couple as they entered in through the beautiful gate. No one else noticed them because they looked just like everyone else. They walked through the court of women and headed towards the place in the temple where you had to make your sacrifice. That's when the Spirit pushed me forward. I knew in my heart what was happening. This was it. All my life I had waited for this moment. As quickly as I could, I made my way over to them. I pushed my way through the thick crowd towards that couple. Then I finally reached them. And when I got to the couple, I looked at the child in his mother's arms, and I reached out my arms to hold the baby. And as I held him, words came upon me from the Spirit within, and I spoke aloud for all to hear. Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. Simeon had to wait. We don't know for how long, but by his reaction when he sees Jesus, we can imagine the wait was quite a considerable amount of time. But waiting for God does not mean laziness. Waiting for God is not going to sleep. Waiting for God is not the abandonment of effort. We seldom think of patience as a gift or a service we offer to God, yet patience is a prerequisite for true waiting. We aren't just putting in time. We aren't just twiddling our thumbs. Patience is focused and committed. Patience already has the goal in mind. Patience is loyal and unswerving. Patience added to the waiting means we will not turn to the right or to the left. We will not quit. We will not run off after other purposes or be talked into any substitutes. Waiting can be hard to do, especially when we struggle with patience. I'm sure I'm not alone in admitting that there are times when I need more patience than I've got. And at times like that, I'm sure I'm not the only one who turns to God and confesses my impatience and asks for more. And yet when we do that, we're surprised to find trials and tribulations coming into our lives and in the following weeks. And if we would only listen to God saying to us, "Haven't you asked me to make you a more patient person? This is how I'm answering you. I'm exercising and strengthening the grace of patience in your life." There was once a preacher who was finding the Christian race hard to get along with. And he was facing a real trial, a crossroads situation. He would have to choose one or other path to go down. So he talked to a fellow minister about it. "What would you do if you were in my place?" he asked his colleague. "I don't know," his friend replied. "I'm not there, but neither are you there yet. When have you got to make your decision?" "This Friday," the preacher replied. To which his friend said, "Then the way will be perfectly clear to you on Friday. The Lord won't let you down." And so it was. The preacher knew which path to take when Friday came. Be patient. Grace is given in time of need, not before the time of need. Simeon had waited all his life, but that does not mean he had been idly sitting on his hands. Simeon, as we know from the Bible, was a devout man, a man of prayer and study. He waited on the Lord's coming, not with impatience, but with biblical patience. A patience that means the goal is kept in sight and never abandoned. A patience that means that he would not turn aside or quit or go after another goal, no matter what. And when Simeon meets Jesus, his patience is rewarded. His heart almost explodes with joy. He reaps the reward of his faithful waiting, just as the true fans of Take That reaped their reward. They never deserted their heroes. They always kept a place in their hearts for them, a place no other band could fill. Simeon believed in the promises of God, that the Messiah would come and that he would see him with his own eyes before he died. Simeon trusted God. The essence of biblical patience is trust. Trust is where patience comes from. We are patient when we trust in God. If we trust in God, then we know that salvation comes, that mercy flows, that life eternal is assured by Christ's grace. Trusting in God, we will have patience to stay focused on the goal, not to be distracted by the world around us. Let me ask you, have you ever been led blindfolded through an obstacle course by a close friend? I know I have. One of those things you do in your activity weekends when you're younger. But every step you took was an act of trust in that friend to lead you safely to your goal. And you trusted that friend because they were your friend and because they could see where you could not. If we trust in God, who sees everything and who loves us unconditionally, if we trust in God and we find ourselves in darkness or facing hardships, we can have a little patience, knowing what joy awaits us in the Lord. For his name's sake, amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, we thank you for your patience. For you see the goal you have intended for us. You want us to spend eternity with you, so that through salvation in Jesus Christ, we will be saved. Redemption, forgiveness, and grace will be ours. And you are patient with us. Lord, it's hard for us sometimes to be patient with you. We get distracted. Other things become our goal. Money, a new house, a nice car, fame and fortune, Lord. These things draw us away from you. And when we're distracted, our patience goes. Lord, keep us focused on you and the message of Jesus Christ, that by his grace we will have abundant joy in God's glorious kingdom. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.